This is Haku, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbags with Phil, Jay, and the big pain in the ass, Choppy.
Yes.
All right, make sure you listen.
Thank you.
Yes, Haku say so.
Where is yours?
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island, New York City.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast with Phil, Jay, and that pain in the ass, Choppy. On Rant EM Radio, proud member of the Shining Wizards Network and Dark Satellite Media.
All right, sorry about that beginning. Something happened. You know how this goes, Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Oh, boy. How's everybody doing?
Failing us again.
What's that?
Technology failing us again?
Yep, pretty much. Pretty much. And now Choppy says I'm not getting his texts. Send friend request. Okay. Okay, what's up? We need Choppies. All right, hold on a second. Oh, boy. I hate this fucking nonsense. Like, it just never works, dude. I don't understand. I have no fucking idea. So,
If we were in quarantine, it would be really good to have, like, a fucking tutorial on this stuff.
Double check the capitalization. Oh, that's why. This thing is, like, case sensitive or something. Hold on. So,
uppercase, lowercase.
Okay, you sent the friend request to Choppy. Okay, here we go. Let's see how this works. Jesus Christ. No, Jay didn't hit the power strip. Something happened with the, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All right, let's see. He says, call me. What a dildo, right? What a fucking dildo.
You hit one power strip, and you can never live it down.
I know. Let's add Choppy to this gimmick. No.
Oh, he's got it now.
Right? He's on. Yeah, I have to add him. No. It says, how do we add you to the call? Blah, 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 blah. Let's see. All right. He says, call me. Yeah, we're trying to call you, dildo. Hold on. Oh, boy. Oh, God, I hate this shit. Jay, can you add him on your end or no? You can't.
I don't have...
You don't have a screen name, right?
Yeah, all I have is the screen share. Stream quality.
Yeah, no. Let's see. Online. Choppy's online. Let's see. Dildo, are you there? Choppy. Oh, boy. Jay, you there? Join the call.
Hey!
Hey, Dildo, you there?
Hey, Muffin Top, how are you?
Why do you sound like you're in the bathroom?
I don't know.
Oh, God. Jay, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, God. All right. Welcome to the quarantined 353, episode 353.
Ooh, great.
Yeah, you sound like you're taking a shit, dude.
No, I'm in the in our room.
You're in a room, huh? You're in the studio, huh? Oh, man. All right.
I'm in Studio C.
You're in Studio C. And he's got the bell. He's got the bell. He's got the bell. He's got the bell.
Maybe because he's on speaker. I don't know if that's.
Are you on speaker? Yes. Are you on speaker, Chop?
Probably.
Yeah, you got to come off speaker because you sound like you're fucking. You sound like you. You sound like you and Indiana Jones are fucking in a tunnel.
I have the headphones on. I just don't know how to.
Nah.
I don't know.
We'll make it work. It doesn't matter. How's everybody doing?
We're okay. How you doing?
All right. We're good.
Quarantined in the city.
Fucking awful. By the way, I got to compliment you on your beautiful shirt from All Japan Pro Wrestling, I must say.
Oh, I'm rocking that right now.
I see.
The gimmicks. Gimmicks, baby. Gimmicks.
It is delightful, I must say.
I do declare. I had to. It was on sale. They had the fat guy size on sale. I had to do it, you know?
Lucky ass.
No, I mean, they have them. They're $20 a shirt, though. I got this one. I got a Kenta Kobashi shirt, and I got a Run TMC shirt. Run TMC was Tim Hardaway, Chris Mullin, and Mitch Richmond from the 80s. That was the backcourt of the Golden State Warriors.
With the killer crossover,
yes. Correct.
Phil, are you going to do a cheap plug for the website that you bought those t-shirts from?
tpublic.com. Thank you. All right. Let's see. Let's open up the gimmicks because let's say hello to everybody. Because everybody's here and everybody's in the chat. Oh, chat room's hopping tonight. Aaron's in the room. Cuzzy Rich is in the room.
Anybody see Richie?
We got Tracy. We got Matt Squires. We got Mr. Rob Domingo. Doing flips and shit. Let's see. Some jerk off named Choppy.
Yeah. What a
mook. What a fucking jerk off that guy is.
Choppy's a pain in the ass. Choppy's a pain in the ass. Choppy's
voice. Oh, you are. I'm happy to hear your voice. It's delightful. Very angelic, I must say.
I'm as doomed as doom could be, you know. So what's everybody? So Chop, you're home now. The whole family unit is there, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, all right, everybody's adapting now. Everybody's feeling better about life.
So far, so good. I mean, the whole week I was playing Fire Pro Wrestling World for the first time, and I love that game so much.
You got to get online with me, man. Hammer says he has a whole league for us to play.
Funny you say that because I've been downloading so many wrestlers.
Yeah, he's got a whole thing. You got to hook up with him on the PlayStation. He said to let him know.
I'll tell you right now, Hammer is not going to beat me in this game. I've been all week. I've been mastering the controls on this game. He is no way he's
going to
beat me.
Okay, I want to see all that transpire because nothing else is going on.
Okay, you got it.
I'm basically leaving the house once a week. What's up, Jay?
I said to say the least. Right, nothing else
is
really going on.
No, I mean, I'm going out like once a week to go shopping. So I went out today, did my shopping, and that's it. I'm done. You know, I come home, I go to work. That's it. Done. You know.
That's not terrible.
Yeah, it's a fucking deal, man. What's up, Jessica? Hello, Shaylin. Ooh, Shaylin's drinking Moscato wine. Choppy sounds like he's trapped in an S&M dungeon.
Where? What?
Okay, terrific. Oh, God.
Okay, terrific.
Oh, hey. Man.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Fire Pro Wrestling. I've also been watching a lot of Kenta Kobashi on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I was watching our throwback, and I saw a little bit of Raw.
We'll get into all that in a second. But you feeling okay? Everybody's good over there?
Yeah, we're feeling good. I mean, no complaints over here. We moved the crib from Logan's room to our room now, so we can have him close to us.
Oh, cool.
And, before he came home, I disinfected the whole fucking house. The whole house is, clean, spotless. There's, not a shred of dirt anywhere. So I wanted to make sure that everything was clean and proper and disinfected. And then today, the father-in-law brought over some lamb chops for us to cook on Easter Sunday, so I didn't have to go out there by that, so that's good.
There you go. There you go.
Very happy.
Happy Good Friday for everybody who's celebrating. I'm not Catholic anymore, so I did not celebrate Good Friday. I celebrated, but I ate meat today, so I don't give a shit.
Listen, I yesterday I celebrated Terrific Thursday, and today I celebrated Fabulous Friday. It's great.
Fabulous Friday. I had a... Yeah, man. It is what it is. You know, it is what it is.
I had Sloppy Joe's for dinner. They're great.
I was going to cook Sloppy Joe's yesterday, but I did Hamburger Helper instead. So Sloppy Joe's will probably be tomorrow or Monday. I already got the stuff for it.
Hamburger Helper's amazing.
Oh, but I jacked my shit up, though. I put bacon bits in it and fucking cheese, and I jacked mine up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. I hooked that shit up.
That sounds delightful.
Oh, it was delightful. Was very much so.
I remember the days of my mom cooking Hamburger Helper for the whole week, and she didn't want to cook dinner every day. So, Hamburger Helper every single day for dinner.
You know what I learned? You know what I learned, though, when I first got my first apartment as a single guy? I started dabbling in, like, different ground meats, like chicken and pork. And so I'd make, like, chicken Hamburger Helper, turkey Hamburger Helper, just to break up the monotony, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it is what it is. It is what it is. Jay, how we doing? How we holding up?
Very well. Very well on this end. Still, going to work. Family's good. Family's, thank God. It's funny that we always make the joke about a friend of mine. We've been, the last 2 weekends, we've been drinking through FaceTime. and the funny thing about it is, we were saying if it wasn't for this happening, we wouldn't even be talking this much. Which is, so it's actually kind of funny how it's like, it's almost like the adverse effect where, we wouldn't even be communicating this much with me and my friends. So it's actually kind of fun in that sense. Work is work. Tava's been busy. She's got a hand more than her plate full, I should say, with the kids and everything. Homeschooling is a motherfucker.
So I hear. So I hear.
So, but other than that, man, listen, I'm healthy. Family's healthy. What else is there to complain about? Well, we can get through this with some teamwork, I think.
Yeah, it's making the dream work. It's been really rough at work. I can't even joke about it. I mean, what's keeping me active is, what's keeping me occupied, I should say, is that it's that busy at work. So,
yeah.
It sucks that they're using my area as a morgue. So that every couple of hours we got dead bodies walking by me, and it's like, ugh. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so that kind of sucks. And, they're giving us a bonus at work, which is pretty cool. And I don't know. Everybody's asking me how my mental health is. I could tell them that I'm just afraid to get it. And I lost 2 coworkers so far. And I lost, my friend lost her mother, and a couple of people close to me are infected, and some people close to me are infected and getting over it.
You
guys see my setup. I have a lot to do here. I'm not at a loss for anything. I have my equipment here now, the old equipment. I have all my video games. I got my Strat cards. I got music. I got movies. I'm okay. I got the internet. I got my smut. I'm good,
What's the validity to the story that if you get it and then you recover, those stories go around that you can catch it again?
I don't know. My mom asked me the same thing. She's like, because I think my mom had it. You remember a couple of months ago my mom was in the hospital for a couple of days?
Yes.
She had pneumonia. Right. She had all the symptoms of the virus. They told her it was pneumonia. She had shortness of breath. She had the gimmicks, the fever, everything else, right?
Okay.
I think she got it. I think when she was in the hospital, she had it, Here's what I'm worried about. Obviously, I'm worried about getting it, but I'm more worried about, check this out, what if this thing gets to warmer months? Do mosquitoes carry this shit?
Well, I was reading some stuff, and they said that heat kills it, apparently.
I don't know, dude, because, mosquitoes love the fatties, so...
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, Chop, I get bit up every summer. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
So, if I get bit up and these fuckers are infected, I'm going to be a big fat virus this year. You know? So
I'm hoping the numbers are starting to plateau a little bit because I think everyone's following directions. A lot of people are actually staying home and being quarantined. So I think it's starting to plateau a little bit. I'm hoping by like middle of May everything goes back to normal, but we'll see. I'm just being optimistic.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty accurate assumption. Mid-May, you know, I know the governor said it was by, end of April, the social distancing, quarantine, whatever the fuck you want to call it, is in effect. So I think mid-May is attainable. Whether it happens or not is another thing. You know, kids go back to school, try to get back to some sort of normalcy.
That's the thing, man. There's not going to be any normalcy. It's a whole. And Jay, you and I talked about this a few weeks ago. It's going to be a brand new lifestyle. You know.
Yeah, there's gonna be no more handshake. I'm still handshaking it.
I'm a hugger, dude. You know, I hug you guys all the time. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Well, what the fuck am I gonna do? Like, you know, I had to stop myself from hugging people at work. I'm like, what's up? And I'm like, damn it, I'm sorry. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's eerie. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Termical Throwbacks brought to you by Deep Woods of this summer. Ring that bell. You know who said that. There's only one maniac in the room. It's Squires.
Of course.
I was on Team Cuomo until today, until I heard that he gave himself a fucking raise.
I heard about that.
I'm like, you fucking asshat.
Everyone is like struggling right now. People are not working.
30 million people.
They're struggling to get unemployment and you give yourself a bonus, fuck you.
That's what I'm saying. So, and then he got a hit, and then I watch his press conference every day at work. I do the Facebook gimmick on Channel 11, locally here in New York.
Yeah.
The dude got a haircut on Tuesday. I'm like, I have to keep my face shaved like a fucking overweight 12-year-old, like an oversized 12-year-old. This dude gets where's he getting a haircut? There's no barbers open. This dude probably has his own hairstylist, that prick.
Maybe his brother's doing it for him. His brother has the COVID.
His brother's locked in a basement. Because he had the Rona, man. His brother had the Rona. Yeah.
My Sharona or Corona?
My Corona.
I actually got the thumbs up from Tabor today. She's like, man, your hair's really, really long. You know, she's like, man, you should just keep growing it. I'm like, oh, sounds like to me, I'm getting back my old hair then.
Uh-oh.
All right there, Fabio. Chill out.
Yeah. Fucking J Dirt over here.
J Dirt.
Anyway, so yeah, we're just trying. This is gonna be the norm from now on. We're gonna have to do this, remotely, and I'm working on some things to get everybody on video. And we have to have Choppy not sound like he's in a fucking cave with Indiana Jones and a temple of dildos. Kalila, you sound like you're in a fucking cave, bro. We have to fix that.
We will next time for sure.
Yeah, for shizzle. Matt Squires says, I need a haircut bed. I'm starting to look like Rocky Dennis. Oh, no.
Wow, that's horrible.
That gets a bell ring. I think it's a bell ring.
Yes, it does.
Okay, so let's besides the big elephant in the room, Jay, you have your notepad open, I hope?
Yeah, hold on one second.
All right, because I want to... We'll get the feel about WrestleMania because we have to get it out of the way. Yeah. It's been almost a week now.
Oof.
And I can already tell Choppy's not happy.
I see where Choppy lands.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to be optimistic, and I guess he wasn't. Yeah,
it's funny. Because we didn't tell what we thought of the show. We were like, we'll just save it for Friday.
Yeah, of course. I was gonna jump on the pre-show on Sunday night, but I fell asleep.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you day drink. You can't day drink and stay up for WrestleMania. It doesn't work.
When you're alcoholics.
I was drinking all day, and I passed out at like 7 o'clock, and I woke up every 2 hours, and I missed like a third of the card, so I had to go back and watch it.
Good for you.
The only only good thing about doing a show remotely, at least here in my apartment, is where I'm set up in my kitchen. My refrigerator is right behind me, and I am literally right near my beer. So.
Wow. Oh, who's better than you?
I know.
Nobody.
Gasp in surprise, I know.
Yo. All right, so let's go over the card real quick, and then we'll we got some news to get into, and then I want to fucking talk about the stupid fucking Dark Side of the Ring episode I watched this morning. Let's see, blah 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 blah. All right, Jay, you ready? You got your gimmicks open?
Yep.
All right, so let's go over the card. And Jay, after we go over each match, Jay will tell us which if we picked the winner or not. So,
yep.
All right, Cesaro opened up against Drew Gulak. The crowd was hot for this one, huh?
Yeah, we didn't even pick it, did we?
I thought we picked Cesaro. I have Cesaro.
I don't have Cesaro.
Okay, well then
that
we don't.
That must be one of the two matches that they added. Oh wait.
Dude, I'm telling you, I think we picked.
Yeah, we picked Cesaro.
Okay.
I got
Cesaro too.
You did? It wasn't a bad match.
No.
It was fast, though.
Yeah, it was fast. It was a pre-show match. That's why, though, dude.
Whack.
All right. Alexa Bliss and Phil's future baby mama, Nikki Cross, defeated the Kabuki Warriors.
This match was pretty good. I enjoyed this match.
You actually enjoyed the match?
That's what I did. I actually did.
Okay, Jay, what'd you think about the match?
I actually enjoyed it too.
Okay.
Nikki Cross is playing to a crowd of zero, and you know what? Honestly,
Choppy sounds like one of Richard Gere's gerbils, Matt said.
Alright,
who do we pick for this one, Jay?
We picked the Kabuki Warriors. We were like, they're not Abu. Doing anything with them. There's no way they're gonna lose.
Abu, make a chabo all the time. Make a chabo. Elias defeats King Corbin.
This match was awful.
Yeah, I didn't like this match at all.
It's Corbin, man. Come on.
This is what I. That's exactly what I told Fallon's brother. Fallon's brother Tommy came. Shout out to Tommy. Tommy came to hang out with us to watch it, and I was like, he's like, this guy. And I'm like, what happened to Tommy? He goes, look what happened on SmackDown. And I didn't see what happened. Apparently, Corbin threw Elias off the rafter thingy. But the way they make it look like Elias fell 20 feet, it was only like 3 or 4 feet. Tommy goes, wait. He goes, look, wait for it, wait for it. I turn around, I look, I'm like, holy shit, he's right. They made the camera look like he fell 20 feet to his doom.
Yeah. Not even. What about the thud? They typed in a thud.
Yes, they did. Yes.
Yes, they did.
They most certainly did.
Unbelievable.
Did we pick? Jay, we didn't pick King Corbin to win, right?
No.
Oh, thank the maker.
Yeah.
Ugh. All right. I thought Shayna. Oh, we picked Shayna Baszler to win. She didn't win. Becky Lynch defeats Shayna Baszler and retains. Yeah, I'm surprised too, Chop. I'm over Becky Lynch, Chop.
Me too, man. I can't stand this rain anymore. It's like her and Cross the Jesus are always in people's faces. I can't take it anymore,
dude. And it's like, what's up with this fucking tractor trailer?
I don't understand that.
Like, she pulls up and just right in the middle of the fucking road gets out. Okay, I'm the man, and she gets out and she fucking walks out. I'm like, who's parking this thing? What a fucking dildo! What an ungrateful cunt! Oh,
I don't get it, dude.
More importantly, why is she driving it and not have at least bring a fucking trailer that has the ring or something? Like, do something useful.
Yeah, hit somebody with the truck or something. Do something.
I think she's holding the belt for like Ronda Rousey, dude. Because I don't see anyone.
Rousey's not coming back anytime soon. She was on. Who's the dude from Jackass? Not Knoxville. Not Knoxville. The other guy. Yeah.
Steve-O.
Yeah, she was on Steve O's podcast, and she said that she's not coming back full time.
Wow.
If at all.
Well, so. I mean, like, if Shayna Baszler is not going to beat Becky Lynch, who the fuck is going to beat Rhea Ripley?
I don't know, dude. That bothered me, too. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, we'll get to that one. That bothered me.
That bothered the fuck out of me. Sami Zayn retains against Daniel Bryan. I didn't even see this coming. I thought
that. No, I knew Sami Zayn was going to keep the belt, but it was a good match. I enjoyed it.
It wasn't
very well. I liked it.
It wasn't.
I especially liked the beginning. The beginning part was, to me, the way that it made you hate Sami even more, and I loved it.
I'm not a fan of heel Sami Zayn. I like him as a babyface better.
You know what's fucked up? Not fucked up, but you know that I was choppy. I was telling the crowd the same thing. I can't get behind this Sami Zayn IC champion thing. I think I told this to Jay last week. I just can't get behind. I like Sam. Don't get me wrong. I like Sami Zayn. I'm a big Sami Zayn fan. I just can't, him with this title. I'm not connecting with him. I'm not emotionally invested in this guy at all.
No, I can't. I can't get into it.
What I'm not connecting with is the new title itself.
That is ugly as shit.
That title is fucking awful, dude.
As Choppy would say, it's dreadful.
It is dreadful. With a capital D
for dick. Unbelievable. So obviously we picked Daniel Bryan, didn't we?
Yeah, we picked Bryan.
Oh, we're not doing too good. All right, we did pick this next match, though, I think. It was initially Miz and Morrison, but Miz has the HIV or something. So it was a three-way instead of the tag. So it was John Morrison retains against Jimmy Uso and Kofi Kingston in a ladder match. This match needed a fucking crowd.
It does.
It does
show to you that sometimes, like these big matches, like ladder match especially, that they you need that crowd to feed on, and it kind of just it makes it bigger than it was. They did a really good job though of kind of making it work. Like, yeah, and the other thing about it is that you can hear how much like the ladder makes a sound actually without a crowd there, and how much it probably fucking hurt.
Yeah, no, I guess so, but like. Chop, you know what I'm saying, right? This needed a crowd. This match,
to me, like especially a ladder match, you need the roar of the crowd to get people hyped up for this, and it just wasn't there. And on top of that, I think the match went way too long. This is my.
I was gonna say that too. It did go long.
No, I don't know. All right, and who we picked for this? Did we picked Jomo though, right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
okay, all right. This match was pretty good. Kevin Owens against the Messiah of Monday Nights.
What was up with that entrance? Oh my god!
What's up with? Well, let me tell you, this match was so good that I was getting texts from casual fans who don't normally follow, and they said, "Are you watching this?" I'm like, "Of course I'm watching. It's WrestleMania, you fucking dolt," you know. But I enjoyed this.
It was a good match. I mean, Kevin Owens should have won, you know, because of all the shit he's been going through with Seth Rollins.
No, Kevin Owens did. No, Owens did win.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm glad he won because he deserved to win because of all the shit he's been going through with Seth Rollins on TV. So very well deserved win. And I feel like this match, it was good, but I feel like they should have been fighting for a title.
Yeah, I have to second that in a sense of that it would have made sense with the stop and start again. That would have made sense, but I did like the stop and start because it's at least new. But once again, this is kind of like another match, at least in my opinion, that needed a crowd behind it.
Especially with that huge spot that Owens did. Yeah, did we pick Owens, Jay? Did we pick Owens?
We picked Owens.
Okay. And another thing too. Remember a couple of months ago we were talking, like last year. I think even when Jay first came on with us, we mentioned that Kevin Owens was one of the guys that didn't have to have a title.
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna agree with you guys. This match needed a title, and Jay said it just because of that stoppage and went back right into it. That needed it.
I liked it because it's almost. You know, it's almost like a little bit of a play of the, like a quote unquote dusty finish type thing.
Yes, baby. Yeah.
A little bit of a play of it.
Yes,
but,
baby.
With the title, it would have added to the excitement of it. But I don't fault it. You know, all in all.
Thank you, Brian. Brian's admiring my shirt, the Miracle Violence Connection. Yeah, baby. wearing that in honor of my rant tonight in a couple of minutes.
Oh, my God. Got the other side of the ring. Oof.
We'll get into that in a little while. Okay. The next match was a giveaway. We knew this was going to happen. Braun Strowman stepping in for the quarantined Reigns.
Yeah.
That's his new gimmick.
The quarantine Reigns.
If you think about it, Phil, remember you talked me out of. I was picking Goldberg originally. You talked me out of.
Right, because it makes sense. How is Goldberg gonna prepare for Braun Strowman when he was preparing for fucking Remission Reigns over here? You know.
Oh. Remission Reigns. Wow.
No, he can't fight. He can't fight. Like he, dude. He's recovering from leukemia twice now, this poor guy, right?
No, listen, he's making the right call.
Yeah, no, I joke, but you guys get, it's tongue-in-cheek, because, I love Roman Reigns, but,
like,
he's in remission, and there's a pandemic going on, so guess what? I'm staying home, fuck your couch, you know what I'm saying? So,
and, I don't know if you know this, but he doesn't really need to work, man. His base salary with the E right now is $3.5 million a year. Starting.
Really?
Yes.
$3.5 million?
He's making that much bread, and he's not even the champion.
Wow.
Go figure. And if I'm not mistaken, they released a list of the top 10 most paid WWE superstars right now. Number 10 was Braun Strowman. I think he's making like $2.5 million.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm finally glad they put a belt on this dude, man. Let's.
Yeah. I've been calling it, dude, for how long now?
Yeah, you've been calling it for a fucking year. They haven't done anything with him.
Since he debuted with Bray Wyatt as one of his minions, like he's good, man. He's really good in the ring.
Nah, he's solid, man. I'm not a. Yeah. I like the big man thing. You know what I'm saying?
I do too. The only thing that sours me, and I think I said it last week, the only thing that just sours it for me, at least, is just that. You could have done so much with a build-up. Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's missing out on that, where you can get a groundswell of support from the crowd. And which, I'm not denying that he's not going to get in front of a crowd now, because I don't think anybody wanted to see Goldberg really hold the belt for that much longer. But that's the only thing to me, is that story that could have been told with him. But other than that, I'm happy to see it on him finally after how many years, how many start and stop pushes he's had.
Correct. And I think, whose fault I think that was? I think it was Brock Lesnar's fault, because there was I forget the little feud that they had with Braun Strowman and him, where Braun Strowman accidentally, like, kneed him in the face, and Brock got really pissed off about that and gave him a receipt. And he probably went to Vince and was like, oh, this guy's not ready. And that's what happened. So,
yeah.
Good for Braun, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, so before we get into this, this is the last match of the first night.
Yeah.
Okay, so I was pissed off about, I'm pissed off that this headlined, first of all. But
it
was weird, and I guess they're putting that movie money to fucking work now, that WWE movie production company. Because this definitely reminded me of a fucking Showtime movie at like 3 a.m., you know? And I there's mixed reviews online, right? People loving it. I'm getting texts. This is amazing. How are you not liking this? I don't like The Undertaker. I don't like 55-year-old I can't move Undertaker. I can't get into it, okay?
Yeah.
AJ Styles, him and AJ had a nice exchange. They had the heated promos. They name dropped. They did a little shooting. You know what I'm saying? I liked the build up. I enjoyed that. Taker's promo was amazing 2 weeks ago, I thought. But this movie shit, like, I don't know, man.
Here's my problem with the movie shit. If you're doing this match as a movie shot as a movie, then everything else should have been shot as a movie as well, because let's think about this for a second. You have no crowd. How do you stand out as a wrestling company with no crowd? Shoot all these matches as a movie. You know, how do you think they did it with Lucha Underground? Lucha Underground was shot as a movie as well. Why not do the same thing with every single match? But you know, this match, I guess, had to be shot as a movie, kind of like, almost like the Ultimate Deletion match with Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy, like a year or two ago, whatever it was. And then it did the same thing, shot as a film. I think the match lasted like 30 minutes. Thankfully, this match was only 20 minutes, whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bad, but who the fuck will see Undertaker, almost 60 years old, fighting a guy who's way better than he is? Sorry. AJ Styles, by far, that's another thing. AJ Styles should have won this fucking match.
Shane Lynn saying that Taker looked like $1 million because he was filmed as $1 million, Shane Lynn.
Yeah.
If you put makeup and boxing gloves on a 70-year-old Sylvester Stallone, he's Rocky.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like when they released Rambo, that fifth Rambo movie with Stallone is pushing 80, and he looked like he was 60. You could make anybody look good in a movie with makeup.
De Niro's pushing 80, Jay, and he looked like he was. They made him look 35 in that Irishman movie.
Yeah, that's true. Listen, it was absolutely designed to make Taker look like that, and that is. I wonder, you know, I don't know the backstage who was in charge of it or what have you, but it was absolutely designed to make Taker look like that, and they succeeded. 110% of what they wanted. Taker looked. You hide all his flaws, whatever he can't do in a live crowd, in a live situation, and you just embellish everything that makes. So, you know, they accomplished that. My take on it is, I actually disagree. Like, they shouldn't do everything movie shit. I mean, obviously, I think in the coming, we're gonna start seeing a little bit more of it, but we're gonna, like, with this and the Funhouse, we'll talk about a little bit. You know, it was greatly, I in my opinion at least, it was greatly done. It was entertaining. Shouldn't have it headlined. I agree with you, Phil. It definitely should not have closed out the night. But I guess in the same sense, I guess they wanted to end on a high note. I don't know if that's what they were going for, but I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Okay. And you're not the only one, dude. I got text messages for an hour after this match, legitimately, from people who don't. I got texts from friends who watch wrestling twice a year, and they were beside themselves. They fucking loved it.
Fuck.
Yeah, that's basically what I told them. I was nice about it, but you're not. But Jay, but to piggyback on what you said, you're absolutely right, and you're not alone. You're not alone. And Shaylin said she heard it. She read that it took them 8 hours to film it. I wonder why. I wonder why.
Well,
eight hours.
8 hours to film it. Yeah.
And honestly, 8 hours is a short day to film that.
Right.
Because if you want to film something like that and film it good, talking from someone over here with experience about that, it takes at least a good 14 hours to get a nice, documented, movie-quality scene.
It was movie quality though, Chop. I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't badly produced. It just, and like the actors in it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. You got to keep in mind, you didn't have the right actors in these roles. And listen, can I just say one thing? When is the Undertaker going to fucking finally retire? I do not want to see this man at another WrestleMania. I'm sick of this fucking guy.
We've had this conversation the past 5 years, man.
I can't take it, man. I'm over the Undertaker.
Unfortunately, I think now they just found a workaround that we're gonna be with him for a little bit.
I gotta agree with Jay, man.
Until what? Until he's 60 and then he can't fucking even walk? He has to go on a wheelchair? What the fuck is Vince thinking?
Well, there's also a lot of talks that this is that might be his one of his final. That's I've seen that as well. I forgot where I heard it from. It might have been Solomon's podcast, where his perfect swan song would be Survivor Series 2020. Now you're talking 30 years to the event of being in the ring. End it right there. Put somebody over. Let them be the new, you know, phenom or phenom-esque. type person and go out, you know, to the sunset with your hand, you know, with your head held high as it can be, you know.
You want to know something? You want to know what should have been Taker's last match? It should have been with Triple H at WrestleMania when that Hell in a Cell match that he did in Florida.
Correct.
And when he won 20-0, and then him, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H, all three of them left together.
That's not the first time. That's not the first time you've said that.
I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, opinions are like assholes, but what I'm saying is that should have been his last fucking match, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's getting really out of hand. I'm sorry, it really is.
Yeah, I mean, he even the few times that you know he fought Roman Reigns, taking his gear off in the ring, you know, you all of a sudden you're staying a little late at the party now, that type of thing. But you know, for what it was worth, for what it was on paper, you know, it didn't need to close the show, but. You know what? I'd be lying if I said I didn't enjoy it. I did enjoy it.
You're not the only one, dude.
You're not the only one, dude. It was not a bad match, but it wasn't like perfect. It was just this thing was like, it's like with Phil. It was designed to make Undertaker look like $1 million.
Correct. All right, let's go to night two. I'm sorry, Jay. We picked Undertaker, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, night two. Opens up with Liv Morgan defeating Natalya.
Yeah, this one we didn't pick anything for.
Oh, okay.
This was announced.
Okay. It was an add-on, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I just say something about Liv Morgan? That girl is a fucking star in the making.
She's what?
She's a star in the making.
I think so.
Yeah, they're pushing her.
Dude, I saw the match with her and Asuka on Monday Night Raw. Dude, the match was really fucking good, and she knows how to fucking sell, dude.
Yeah, no, she's really got a nice little shit locker on her too.
Well, despite all that, you know, the way she looks and stuff, but like she can go, man. She's good. I think she's gonna be a champion one day.
Yeah, yeah. They just gotta get behind her and give her a little steam, and I think it'll work because she does have the charisma. She has that natural. I mean, I think she's a good baby face right now. She's probably more of a tweener right now, but. You know, you give her that, she's got that Jersey attitude. Dude, I'm telling you, that can get over.
Fuck Jersey.
She picked up a little bit from Enzo Amore, because Enzo used to go out. So,
fuck Jersey.
Come on, you love Jersey.
I do, I was there today.
Yeah, I bet you were at Wally World, weren't you?
Maybe. maybe I wasn't. Don't judge me, son.
Jerk.
All right. Here's the disappointment of the night for Phil.
You're bugging.
Disappointment of the night was Charlotte beating Rhea Ripley.
Nah, I liked it.
Well, first of all, if I had your TV loud enough and people heard you upstairs, they thought you'd be watching a porno because.
I seen that. I was laughing. I was like, oh, it's so fucking true.
Yeah, they were moaning, groaning. At one point, they could have scissored each other. it could have been an episode of Brazzers, you know? All joking aside, though, the match was good. I wanted Rhea Ripley to win. I really, really did. And you know what's funny? I said, Jay, I think it was last week. I'm like, Jay, what if Charlotte does win? Where did they go with that? And sure as shit, she wins.
Does win.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Chop.
I have a funny feeling the reason Charlotte Flair is going to NXT is just to help that women's division because Charlotte Flair can make stars. She's in the role of her father right now.
Well, that makes perfect sense, and I was hoping one of you would say that because I was gonna say that being that Bianca Belair made the bump.
Yeah. Yeah.
She did.
So now you have. There's a bunch of girls down there now that can. You have the Tegan Knoxes of the world. You got the Shitlock of Sarai. You got, you know, you got the other chick. What's the other team?
Dakota Kai.
You got you got Chelsea Green. Yeah. You got Candice LeRae. You know,
just,
you got
nothing. But she can go down in just like Chop said. You can go down there and like legit make some stars now. because they because their women's roster in NXT is stacked.
Right. Right. So now Bianca Belair makes the bump up, you know.
Yeah.
So hopefully she goes after fucking Becky, you know, or her and Baszler battle it out, and Baszler finally, somebody has to get that belt off Becky Lynch, please.
I honestly think it's not going to be Baszler. I think it's going to be Rhea Ripley. I think Rhea Ripley is going to switch roles with Charlotte. Charlotte's going to go to NXT. Rhea's going to go to Raw. You might see a feud between Becky and Rhea. And I think Becky needs to turn heel. I'm getting so sick and tired of her. It's getting so annoying with her as a babyface.
Yeah, I have to agree.
Yeah. All right. Next match. Oh, God. Aleister Black defeats Bobby Lashley. We picked this. I think we picked Aleister Black, right? Okay, good.
Sloppy Lashley's awful, dude.
And now him and Lana are going to be breaking up. Thank the maker for that.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
Thank the maker for that. Otis beats Dolph Ziggler. That was a fun match. Did we pick Otis, Jay?
We picked Otis,
yeah. Yeah.
The match was good. Yeah. I'm not surprised because it is Dolph Ziggler. And Otis, for a guy who's like, oh, he's 350 pounds, the guy, I think?
Yeah.
He can move, man. He's a good guy. He's a good worker.
Jay and I talked about this last week that Otis needed to win just because of them. And they built it up nice too, you know, the jealous girlfriend thing and you know that whole the jealous boyfriend whatever and the misunderstanding and turns out that her friend was involved in it and the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
So I like that. It was a nice little, and I don't even watch SmackDown, so. What's up, Uptown Georgie? What's up, Otto? Fallon says, I agree with Choppy. I think Ripley's going to Raw. Look at Fallon giving her fucking, her expertise now. Now, the next match I was very much looking forward to. Another match that needed an audience, right? Edge against Randy Orton. Now.
I agree with you.
Okay, this match needed an audience. I think Jay and I even spoke about it last week. This match needed an audience. The promos, the whole gimmick, it needed an audience. I got a couple of messages online saying the match went too long. I don't know about that. If I can get your opinion, I'll open the floor up to you guys. You can tell me. I thought it was a good match. We picked Edge to win, I think. Did I lose somebody?
Hello? Oh, I'm still here.
Jay, you there? I think we lost Jay.
Uh-oh. Oh, shit.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Well, let me give you my opinion on the match. I think the match was fine. Honest to God, it went a little long, but I was okay. I felt like I was watching, like, an old, like, 80s action film where the good guy finally gets the bad guy for, you know, fucking his wife or some shit like that, and then... You know, the good guy actually beats the shit out of the bad guy, and in the end, the winner wins. And it was a really well told story, and it's like what you said. I think the match should have had an audience because it was really that good.
Yeah, I think it went too far though. I mean, not too far, too long, I should say. I don't know.
Who am I to be the judge of that? I mean. I think the match, in all honesty, since the match was this long, it should have closed the show.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't going to happen, but where the hell was Jay? Can we get Jay back?
I don't know, dude.
What's going on with Jay? I don't know. There it is. Jay, you there? Hello?
Jay?
Jason?
All right, I'm back.
What happened?
It must have been my Wi-Fi or something.
What do you got? What do you got? Fucking, what do you got? Dial up over there?
I got 56K over here.
Jesus Christ. Whoa. Did you install Hotmail yet on your disk or what?
Dude, all of a sudden I'm like, what the fuck happened? And then I'm looking at the Wi-Fi bars and I'm like, what's this exclamation point mean? So I was like, I had to go into that. So I don't know. I think sometimes my shit is a little wonky over here.
Mr. Technology, J. Cop over here.
That's what she said. You should talk to Indiana Jones. All right. Your next match, the Street Profits beat Angel Garza and Austin Theory. I think we picked the Street Profits, right?
We picked the Profits.
I like I like all these guys.
I like them all too, but Montez Ford is just too much sometimes.
He's good in the ring, though.
He's fantastic, but he is just too much. Like, why does he have to, like, shake the ropes like an asshole?
He wants to smoke, Jay.
Oh, my
right,
God.
Jay? He wants to chop. He wants that smoke. He wants that smoke.
I'm sure he does. Fucking jerk off.
Yeah. All right. Square Jaw Bailey retains the SmackDown Women's title. I don't think we picked her.
Nah, we picked Sasha.
We picked Sasha Banks, right? Yeah, you talked me into Sasha Banks. Yeah. I was actually going with the, what's her face? Glowing Shoes. The hell's her name?
I was going with Tamina.
Well, Naomi. Funny, you weren't picking Tamina, you lying fuck.
I picked Tamina. Tamina Snuka.
You would not pick a Tamina Snuka. You lie like a Persian rug, Indiana Jones.
No, believe it or not. I think it was very hard for me to pick a winner, but I did. I was
going to
go with Sasha. Then I was like, no, I'm just
going to
stick with Bailey and see what happens.
I was going with Naomi, and fucking Jay Dirt over here was like, listen, I think we should go with Sasha Banks. I think it's her time. And I'm like, ah, maybe. And he talked me into it.
I think it was good. Well, they did tease the Sasha turn.
Yes, they did.
They did tease it, though.
They did. They absolutely did.
Jay, I think we can have a conversation after the show's over, okay?
Oh, here we go. Okay. Down to the nitty-gritty here. The next match was another cinematic feature.
Oh man, this match was really weird, man.
So Bray Wyatt, did we pick Bray Wyatt or we picked Cena? I think we picked Cena, right?
No, we picked the Fiend.
We picked the Fiend? Okay. After you watch it, I had to watch this twice because I got what he did, Bray Wyatt. He brought out all of John Cena's his failures. And I must tell you, it was brilliantly done, but it shouldn't have been a match. That should have been a build-up.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because it was a movie about blowing John Cena's spot up, literally, and then it ended with them in the ring and him giving the fucking the manium claw and mandible claw and the fucking, and that's it. Like there was no substance to it. There was no oomph. There was no, oh my God. There's no crowd, obviously, for you know what I'm saying. So I don't know. Me, I was like, this should have been a movie. It should have been a build up, and then it should have been a match.
You want to know something? I think that the match itself was it was okay, but is it just me or does John Cena look really weird now?
Old.
Like he looks like John Bradshaw Layfield now.
He really does.
He looks
like Bradshaw.
He looks like you remember that? You guys. I'm showing my age now, but back in the day when you bought the comic books. They had like the Jack LaLanne guy, the bodybuilder guy, the dirty old man with the muscles in the back of the comic book.
Yeah, that's him.
That's him. That's Jack LaLanne. John LaLanne.
John LaLanne.
I think we just found the name of the episode tonight.
John LaLanne.
John LaLanne.
Mr. Ballantyne Fitness himself.
Yeah, and the Temple of fucking Choppy.
I tell you, Phil, you just changed my whole perspective. You know, I liked it. I really, same thing. Individually, I liked it as a match. But man, it would make much more sense if it was a build-up. You completely changed my perspective.
How dope would that be, though? You have the hope, like,
you're 100% right.
You could have broke, put it, you know, and you know what, 2J? You could have broke that segment up into like 4 weeks.
Yeah, you could have. I agree. And right. it was also really weird is to see John Cena in his like little tiny white shorts that he had on in the beginning of his career. But then he brought out the Doctor of Thuganomics, and I was like, oh my God, he looks so awkward now. I can't see John Cena as the Doctor of Thuganomics anymore. I can see him like in the shirt and tie, running like a corporation or something.
But I like I said, ultimately I liked it, you know. It wasn't that long, you know, but, you know, which was good because, but, you know, other than that, like, but it would make much more sense, like you said. And then just have like you're gonna have a 5-6 minute match with John. He ain't gonna get hurt. Isn't gonna get sued by, you know, anybody for getting for doing wrestling, what have you. So
yeah, yeah. And we finish WrestleMania 36 with Drew McIntyre defeating Brock Lesnar.
My guy.
That's your guy, huh?
I knew he was gonna win.
Yeah.
But it was kind of shocking right at the beginning of the match. He hits the Claymore kick right from the beginning. I was like, oh my God, they're not gonna end it like this. Or...
No.
And, no, dude. I did not like this match, and I'll tell you why. It was way too fucking short.
I agree.
Uptown Georgie said Cena looks like Ernest Goes to Camp.
Yes! Ernest Scared Straight is what should be called.
Hey, Vern. Ruthless Aggression, Vern. Ruthless Aggression. Hey, Vern. I love it.
Yo, Scared Straight Cena.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Scared Straight Cena. Cena Goes to Camp. There's the name of the episode right there. Cena Goes to Camp.
Cena Goes to Camp, I love
Cena
it.
Cena Goes to Camp. Oh, it was great, Georgie. Thank you.
He does look like Ernest, though, doesn't he?
He does. Hey.
Oh, my.
Hey, Vern. Hey, Vince. Hey, Vince. Yeah, Ruthless Aggression. Ruthless Aggression, Vince. Hey, y'all. All right. That was WrestleMania 36.
Yeah.
Minus a crowd, it wasn't too terrible. There were a couple of thuds. I wish I could emotionally invest in it more because I needed the crowd. I needed the crowd for this.
Same here. I think they overall did the best that they could, and it showed. I was expecting a lot less. I think I was expecting a lot less entertainment wise, and I walked out happy with it. If that makes sense.
We're talking with Tama Tonga last week, right? And by the way, guys, I'm just let the cat out of the bag. I'm not allowed to upload the audio. I didn't get permission from the BC, but that's fine. But talking with Tama Tonga, he did mention that he personally needs an audience.
That makes sense.
So when he said that, I wanted to say something, but I was like, you know what? I told Jay this last week, Chop. I wanted something really good to come out of this. Because of what's going on, like with the world, you know? I think everybody involved outside The Undertaker, everybody involved stepped their game up. They did their thing. They marched in. They fucking performed. Even Elias taking that 4-foot dive, you know? Like, everybody made an effort, sincerely, and as a fan, that's how I look at it with the cup half full, not half empty. You know, takeaways from it: the movie shit was useless to me. Undertaker again, useless to me. Charlotte losing I was disappointed in. Everything else I didn't have a problem with. Everything else was okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, Becky Lynch too. I didn't like the Becky Lynch beating fucking Baszler.
Yeah.
But I understand. When I was telling this to Fallon and a couple other people last week, I need like legit reasons why they're doing stuff now. Like, in my head, like I'm trying to work out the scenario. Like, who's going to Raw now? Yeah. Who's going to SmackDown? Why did she retain? Why did he lose? You know what I'm saying? This way now, because now you still have to tell these stories with no crowd. Still, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's gonna be a weird party from for the next several weeks. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
You broke up, Jay.
I said there's a lot of unknown.
Yes, which is cool.
Yeah, which actually can work.
Yeah. So the marks have nothing to cry about till they see it. You know.
The marks are like myself. We're always gonna complain about something.
Cena saves Christmas, Shaylin. Cena goes to camp. I'm taking that one. That's the Hey Vance. Any takeaways? Did you guys watch NXT or AEW?
I saw a little bit of AEW. Let me tell you something. Lance Archer is a machine. He is going to be the next TNT champion, hands down.
Everybody dies, Chop. Everybody dies.
The Murder Hawk. The Murder Hawk himself, I'm telling you, man. I predict it.
The best friends match against Nakazawa and Kenny Omega was fantastic. The best giveaway for me about the whole night was Jericho on fucking commentary with Shivani.
Yeah, he's good, man.
Oh. Yeah, if Jericho stopped wrestling tomorrow and took over commentary, I'd have zero issues with that.
Tony Schiavone was the best.
Tony Schiavone, he said. I mean, but he was on point. Jericho was on point. He was. I enjoyed him.
I enjoyed it, yeah. I thought he did excellent.
Yeah.
Check out the picture I posted up on the page.
Jesus. Cena saves Christmas. That's funny.
But that's what we were saying about like the WWE doing like the movie shoot things. You get to see now because on NXT they had Gargano against Ciampa. And they had like a 40-minute...
Oh, man. That was a fucking... That took way too long.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It was good. Once again, it was good. It was a little long. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. I think they're starting... They're going to be like... I think they're looking at the good reviews online and going, let's just keep it going. So I think we're going to see a lot more of that stuff now.
Yeah, Chop. Did you see Chop? You see NXT?
I did not, but I heard the match was really long. From what I was told.
Yeah, it was pretty long.
And I'm getting kind of sick of watching Gargano and Tommaso all the time.
It's over.
I mean, that's their last match, but I mean, like after a while, dude. I mean, we've seen these guys tag together. We've seen these guys beat the shit out of each other multiple times. And I didn't care to watch this match again. And on top of that, I don't like Johnny Gargano.
And now
Candice LeRae is also a heel, which is kind of weird because I don't see her as a heel. I see her as a baby face. It's just, I don't know. It's just really weird.
I agree with Chop. I agree.
It's like Sami Zayn weird. Like Sami Zayn should not be.
Yes, that's right.
Sami Zayn should not be a heel, and Johnny Gargano.
I disagree. Sami Zayn should be a heel.
Listen, Jay, we're going to have a conversation. After the show, you can have a conversation.
After you fix your phone, Chop. After you fix your phone. After you fix your phone.
Yes.
Yeah, Chop, I gotta agree with you, man. I do. It's Sami Zayn weird. I got it. Yeah, very good.
Did it make sense for them to turn Johnny Gargano heel when Ciampa was about to win the title from Adam? It doesn't make sense. It would have made more sense if, like, Gargano accidentally cost Ciampa the match. If it was an accidental thing, then okay, Ciampa, you know, it'd be fine. But like the fact that he purposely cost him just because of their history, and he still holds a grudge, it just doesn't make sense. I'm sorry.
I like the accidental thing. I actually think that would be good, and then he turns heel afterwards. Like, you know what? Fuck you. I did mean it.
He's right though. It was an accidental fuck up on his part, and then you know Trump was like, "Yo, what the fuck?" And then he's like, "Oh, fuck you, man. It was an accident.
Yeah.
I'm done apologizing, and that's it."
Yeah, exactly. Fuck you and your couch. Oh, all right. Any other takeaways from these two monumental events this past week?
I mean, it's going to be an interesting turn of events. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
All right.
So
before we go to break, I want to talk about what I watched at 5 a.m. this morning, which was the Dark Side of the Ring episode three. This is now or four? Yeah. This is three.
Yeah.
Episode three.
This is the Brawl for All, right?
Yeah, the Brawl for All.
Okay. Here's a couple of things I didn't know, okay, about this, because I didn't do any research on this, and I remember watching it and being disgusted by it as a 20-something-year-old, right? One, I didn't know this was a real shoot between Bradshaw and Vince Russo. I didn't know that A, didn't like each other, and B, this was all based around Bradshaw talking shit, which makes perfect sense because he's a fucking bully anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does kind of add into that. Yeah.
Now, he has a reputation of being a fucking douchebag. So I'm not mad about. Okay. I didn't know this was Vince Russo's baby. Did not know that until I watched it. Also didn't know that. Yeah. Okay. Obviously. Well, what's that?
I was going to say, because a lot of it is saying that he's the one that spearheaded it, but, you know, everybody else had to sign off on it, you know, the Pritchards.
Which is where I'm going to be getting at. So this is where I differ from everybody else, and I told Mario from the Barrio too on Facebook today. You know, so I didn't know that Russo pushed for this, and this is his idea. And B, hold on. Ooh, excuse me. I'm fucking exhausted. And then, B, I didn't know with the Bradshaw thing. So now, I know about the heat. Cornette always had heat with Russo.
Still does.
What's that?
He still has heat with Russo.
Yeah, surprise. I mean, Cornette's got with heat with everybody because he's an old-timer, and this is what they're setting their ways, whatever.
It's a work. He doesn't have heat with anybody. It's a work. He just hates. He's working everybody.
Okay, that could be true too.
Yeah.
But all right, so let's say, allegedly on TV he hates Vince Russo. Okay, yeah. we'll play it like that. We'll go with that theory. Okay.
He might really hate him.
Okay. the fact that here's where I get angry. Okay. If WWF at the time, if they were gonna push Dr. Death Steve Williams to the moon with Austin, right? Or any top card guy at that point. A, why would you not make him win the tournament, okay, and have some of this predetermined, right? And not have a real shoot, fight in every match, okay? That A. And B, like, why didn't you stop after guys were tearing fucking ligaments and breaking bones and, like, you know, people getting legitimately hurt in this tournament, right?
Yeah.
So Cornette's crying about the business and guys are getting hurt legitimately. Jim Ross, like, oh, yeah, these guys shouldn't be doing this. They got hurt. They were getting hurt for real. And I was like, you can't blame Russo for that. They signed off on it. But you don't think Vince could have pulled the plug? And then they all get baffled when Bart Gunn wins the fucking whole thing. And, oh, sorry, creative has nothing for you. We'll throw you to Butterbean for WrestleMania instead.
Feed you to the wolves of Butterbean.
Like, are you fucking serious right now? Like, are you serious right now? So everybody's like, oh, fuck Russo. Russo ruins the business. I hate. And then, like, Russo apparently left an angry voicemail on... I'm sorry, Cornette made an angry voicemail on Russo's machine. I'm going to kill you and kill your family, and you cost us $5 million. $5 million? If Dr. Death Steve Williams, not in his prime, and I adore Dr. Death Steve Williams, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. I'm wearing one of my favorite tag team shirts of all time. Okay, very short-lived. If these guys would have stayed in the States, they won the both titles in 2 weeks, and they were in the States for 3 weeks. Okay? The bottom line is, if you're going to invest this much money in somebody, why would you throw him in a shoot fight? I mean, Dan Severin walked out. Was like, yeah, I'm done. Because Dan Severin wanted to continue wrestling. And he did. He won the NWA title. So, like, how do you blame Vince Russo for them not pulling a plug on this after A, Severin walks out? B, Dr. Death fucking rips every ligament in his leg, in his arms. Like, Godfather got hurt. Savio Vega got hurt. Like, all these motherfuckers are getting hurt. Except for Bart Gunn.
I think it's hard to say. Obviously, all the blame does not land on Russo's lap. 100%, there's no shot in that. Like you said, ultimately, Vince has... he has the chance to push it or hold it back. So, obviously, it falls on him, too. But a lot of it is, dude, you got fucking 8, 10, however many guys are in the thing. Guys that are manly men that are going, oh, fuck you, I could take this guy. Fuck you. Like, that's where the problem lies. It's a fucking testosterone-filled fucking locker room that's going, I'm the baddest motherfucker in here.
Right? So, no, I got that. But now now the whole thing was they're mad at Russo because A, he pushed for it, and B, Dr. Death was thrown in it, and they wanted Dr. Death to win, thinking he was gonna win. What the fuck is that? Hello?
That's probably a kid crying in the background.
Oh, okay.
Sound like
a ghoul came out of a crib.
Yeah, that's probably Landon crying because he wants to have his bobo in his mouth. Sorry about that.
So now, now I'm like, this is bullshit. The more I'm watching it now, the more I'm getting aggravated, right? I'm like, this is bullshit. Like, this is horseshit. Like, you can't blame. If they're going to push him to the moon, then it has to be rigged. You have to rig it.
Of course. But the whole reason for the Brawl for All was for it to not be rigged. So you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot from Jump Street.
I get what you're saying, but all the red flags are there, dude. Severin gets hurt.
Yeah.
Godfather gets hurt. Then Dr. Death gets hurt. And when you realize that Bart Gunn is gonna go to the finals, and they're like, oh no, Bradshaw will beat him. He knocked the fucking Bradshaw out in the first round.
Yeah. The only guy to last more than one round, or I think he lasted the whole fight, was Hardcore.
Yeah, that's another guy. He got hurt too.
Yeah, but like you said, after all these guys started getting hurt, that's when they should have kind of come in and go, all right, we got to work this, guys. We're losing guys now. But how do you know that conversation didn't happen? And nah, man, this is legit. I want a piece of Bob Gunner. I want to win the.
And how about draws winning and not winning? How about that? Draws wins his match, but they don't give it to him. How about that?
Yeah.
And we have two judges and a referee. Referee can't fucking ref boxing matches.
I agree with Phil. Like, how do you put all the blame on Vince Russo when in the end it's Vince McMahon who makes the final decision? Am I right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So, and here's one thing. I don't believe for one second that Dr. Death was going to be pushed to the moon against Stone Cold Steve Austin after this tournament.
Well, but Jim Ross and Cornette were saying that. So they're both wrong then, Chop?
I call bullshit on both of them.
Okay. Okay.
And I'll tell you why. First off, they were pushing younger talent at this point. Dr. Death is already 40 years old by then. What the fuck does he have left at 40 years old? You know? And not to discredit his pedigree. He was a fantastic performer in the 80s and the early 90s, the mid-90s. But, like, we're almost into the new millennium. And then fucking, you're going to tell me that he's going to be the guy that's going to go up against Stone Cold Steve Austin? Come on, stop. Just stop. That's bullshit to me. And also, it's like what you said. If this was supposed to be a legitimate fight, who the fuck cares who won? You know? And then, but they were like, oh no, the Dr. Death is going to win this. He's going to win it. Why? Because of his athletic background?
They were going to, it was a favorite of JR. They were going to throw him to Austin, you know? So, like, as a last hurrah, allegedly, okay?
Allegedly.
So, but if that's the case, there were 900 red flags prior. You could have pulled this thing from the get. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. As soon as people started getting injured, Vince would be like, all right, guys, no more. But apparently, Vince was really liking me.
Of course he was. He's a carny. He's a fucking carny promoter.
He's a junkie, dude.
He's a fucking carny promoter.
It's stupid. Yeah.
This show is excellent.
Oh, yeah.
They are hitting it out of the park.
Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, and then it was a con. And I don't know. I just think that I can't put the whole blame on Russo. I got to point the finger at fucking Vinnie Mac.
I mean, like, Vince Russo came up with the idea, but Jim Ross is above Vince Russo. And so is Jim Cornette. And then above those two guys is Vince McMahon. So you cannot blame Vince Russo for this idea. And then And I love Jim Cornette, don't get me wrong, but he's gotten really senile and really crazy in his older age now.
Yeah.
And he can't be talking the shit that he says. And you can't take him seriously.
Yeah. At one point, you have to conform with the times. It's great that you don't like anybody. It's great that you have a really popular fucking you have two popular podcasts. It's great that you still make the rounds to the conventions and you still do shoot interviews. And I think your 40 years of contribution to the wrestling business has been astounding. You're I love Jim Cornette as a talent. One of my favorite people in wrestling. But, like, you can't be the bitter guy every fucking step of the way now. You're entitled. Listen, I've been an EMS now for 21 years. Don't get me wrong, I'm burnt out. But not every tour is terrible. Not every shift. Not every fucking week. Not every month. Not every year. Like, there's leaps and bounds. It's not all terrible. Like, it couldn't have been that bad every single time you went into a town. And you've done everything in a business. You've been a promoter. You've been an owner. You've been a talent. Okay, you've been a photographer. You've done almost everything in the wrestling business. Like, at this point in your life, like, either shit or get off the pot. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be bitter all the time. It's not working for you. As an older fan, I'm telling you that, Jim Cornette, it's not working for you. And Vince Russo, he plays off like he's innocent. Listen, he was one of those guys, we talked about this on the show a million times. He was the right guy at the right time. That was it. He was writing something edgy in the magazine. Vince got a hard on, brought him in, like, oh, this is what we need. And that was the Attitude Era. I get it. Yeah. His contribution, second to none. His name will be forever etched in all of the great shit that happened in the 90s and then all the bad shit that happened in the 90s. You know? So it's bad and good. It had to be. It had to happen like that for us to have a conversation like this and to bring up something like that on a documentary.
I just hate the fact that Vince Russo gets so much flack for everything that happened in the Attitude Era. You got to keep in mind, Vince Russo, it's like what you said. He may have come up with, like, some really good ideas, but he also has some bad ideas. But guess what? Every booker has had that happen to them in the past as well.
Good point.
Dusty Rhodes was not the best, the most perfect booker. He was a great booker, but he wasn't the best booker.
Bill Watts too. Bill Watts was a fucking maniac.
Bill
Watts is like, okay, I'm gonna make Ron Simmons the first black champion, but you can't throw anybody over the top rope.
Yeah, it's retarded.
Exactly. I'm sure Eddie Graham did the same thing. I'm sure Kevin Sullivan did it when he booked Florida. I'm sure Fritz booking Fritz brings in Lance Von Erich.
What about Ole Anderson with the Black Scorpion?
Oh my God. But again, like, that's perfect. That was the perfect, good segue, Chop. Like, you can't. Everybody makes mistakes, you know.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. I just didn't want to. I felt like they were giving fucking Russo way too much shit, and I think it was.
For no reason.
Vince could have pulled the plug on this like at the second match into this nonsensical fucking tournament.
Well, I mean, is it one of those things? I didn't see the episode yet, but like, they interview Vince as well?
No. They interviewed Jimmy Cornette. They interviewed Bart Gunn. They interviewed Jim Ross. They interviewed Draws. D'Lo Brown. Godfather a bunch of times. Apparently he was high the entire time.
Draws is so bad. I feel bad for him.
Yeah, Draws is in a bad. He's paralyzed.
I'm just saying, because I know didn't they interview Russo for the Montreal episode last season?
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised they didn't, like, at least, you know, give him his voice. I'm pretty sure he has a podcast as well. So
he does.
Hear his stuff anyway. But, like, I think it's just he's an easy, if that makes sense. Like, he's just an easy talking to go, well, this was bad, so, Vince Russo. Whereas, like you said, there's so many moving parts in that whole fucking hodgepodge of shit right there.
Yeah.
Ultimately, where I stand with it is that it should have just never happened. And if it did happen, you got to work it.
Well,
because injuries, and you want to get to a point. Like you said, Bart Gunn legit fucking tough dude. What do you do after he beats all these wrestlers? You put him in a ring and he gets squashed by fucking Butterbean. So it was all for nothing.
He tried to box a boxer.
Yeah.
Butterbean even said, if you tried to do what you did with the other guys, you would have lasted with me. But you tried to box with me, and I knocked you the fuck out. Mm-hmm. That was it.
And like I said, I wonder if they just went like halfway through. They go, hey, listen, we're already here, so we got to see this motherfucker through. All right. Get on the phone with, let's see if we get some boxes down here for a good.
I don't know.
But, all right. Anything else before we go to break?
No, that's it.
All right. Chop, you said you have headphones? What's that?
One important thing of news is the Revival, the FTR.
Fuck the Revival.
Yeah, fuck the Revival.
Announced that they've been released by WWE.
Is that 90-day? Is it 90-day thing? Is that the clause still in effect with them?
Everything I've read is no.
Hmm.
I think they're eligible to go wherever and whenever.
Hmm.
Which is wild to see. I guess they finally came to an agreement where it's like, listen, you guys aren't using us. What do we hear? You know, so.
Yeah. I don't know. I like those guys.
Yeah.
I do.
Any predictions of where they go?
They're going to AEW. They're friends of Cody.
Yeah. I want to say AEW.
Yeah. All right, real quick. Apparently, chat room saying that Jay's a little low, so Jay, turn your mic up when we come back from the break. Choppy, you have headphones on, right?
I'm actually, believe it or not, I'm not even using my phone. I'm right now.
What are you using?
I'm using your PC.
Oh, that's why. There's no microphone. That's why you sound like shit.
Well, thanks, buddy.
Hardwire him in.
Well, yeah. I mean, you need a microphone.
Yeah, so we want it. You know what? Let's take a break real quick. I got to go help out my wife. She's having issues with Landon right now.
All right, go ahead, man. Go do. Now we know why he sounds like. All right, we'll fix that later on. All right, let's take a quick break. Oh, we got a nice throwback for you. Everybody, mute your mics, play our commercials, and we'll be right back. All right? Bye bye.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Okay, let's give this a try. The Shining Wizards is a funny wrestling podcast. No. The Shining Wizards is an insightful wrestling podcast. How about this? The Shining Wizards is a great wrestling podcast that airs live Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on RantDMRadio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. Of course, it's available on all podcasting platforms. I think that covers it. To check us out, go over to ShiningWizards.com and get ready to join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
I don't know.
All those moments of loss in time.
In a world where Hollywood tries to tell you how to live while doing the exact opposite, where fresh ideas are tossed away for a cash grab reboot, where the media has become nothing but propaganda and freedom is traded for what they tell you is security and safety, there is Inconclusive Breakdown. Your weekly look at current events and entertainment with no political correct BS. Just news and uncensored opinions, everywhere you get podcasts. A proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
Horns up, beautiful motherfuckers! Radioactive Metal is here on the Shining Wizards Network, and we want you to listen.
Every week, we cover the world of heavy metal and speak to your favorite bands.
We discuss new releases, concerts, controversies, and everything else that's related to heavy metal.
And occasionally, we even talk about pro wrestling.
Catch us live every Thursday night on PureRockRadio.net.
Listen to past episodes at RadioactiveMetal.org or at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-hosts Adam, Cal, Sydney, and I every Friday as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and occasionally pro wrestling on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Rant EM Radio, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
Hey, this is the Queen of Extreme, Francine, and you are listening to Phil, Jay, and that pin in the ass Choppy on the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
All right, we're back. Anyway.
I think I turned it up. I think I should be up enough. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no wonder why he sounds like shit, because he doesn't have a microphone.
Yeah, I don't. So.
Jesus
Christ. We'll figure it out.
Hey, right. Phil, can you do me a favor? Can you check your phone real quick?
I just got it. Hold on.
Thanks, bro.
I just got it. Hold on.
Every week, we will get better and better at this. We will make By the time we're going to be done quarantining, we're going to be experts.
Okay. All right. You guys ready for your throwback?
Yeah.
Right, let's fucking do this. Let me get the gimmick back up here. And let's play it.
And now, here is your throwback of the week. Sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
All right, we got an interesting request this week. I thought it was interesting anyway, because I forgot that it redebuted this late in the game. And this was Jay, right? This was your suggestion, right?
Yeah, well, it was funny because I was, excuse me, when we talk about stuff, we, look and try to find something that's interesting about it. And looking back, I was browsing through the network, I'm like, April. I'm like, oh, it says it's the first episode of WCW Saturday Night. And I'm like, I find that weird. I was like, wait a minute. But, 605 Saturday Night's been around since as long as...
Since the 70s, yeah, of course. Yeah. Right.
But it was rebranded after all.
Yes, so this was the Bill Watts era. Yep, we mentioned Bill Watts before. It was a good segue. They rebranded it a few times.
This is,
I'm sorry, dude, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
No, you. I didn't mean to cut you off. Okay. You.
Me? No, yeah. But, yeah, so like Bob says, you know, Jack Petrick came in right after Jim Herd. So Jim Herd already has left. Jack Petrick came in, which I never even heard about him. I had to look him up. But, and then, like I said, Watts was soon right after this. So this guy was only in for a little bit, but this was the Kip Fry, the guys at TNT, at Turner and all that stuff. Ran the show and on it, and, you know, Jesse Ventura?
You're breaking up, Jay. What was that?
Came in what, the end of 81?
Yeah, Jesse Ventura came right before this. Yeah, they brought him back in. Yeah. This is from April 4th, 1992, from the Georgia Mountain Center in Gainesville, Georgia, home of AJ Styles, actually.
Yeah.
And I guess what stood out to Jay was the main event and the time, because it was in April of 92. We're doing April, I guess, of this year, but of 90. But 92... was pretty important. Like Jay said, there was the moving of the guards again. At this point, they really didn't have much of an identity, if you think about it, you know. So,
I thought the show had a nice feel to it, especially with the beginning of the show. It had like a talk show feel to it with Jim Ross and Jesse the Body.
Yeah, I thought so too.
It was good, and then showed like little interview segment, like little promos they had with like the Z-Man, and then fucking they had like Ron Simmons come in for a little bit. I thought it was done really nicely, and then they would go into the action where the arena was at and show all the matches. Based on what I saw, I thought it was a very well produced show.
Yeah, no, I mean they opened up with they had like a segment with Ron Simmons, which was cool. So now you know they're hyping him up. You know, and they break no bones about it. Ask him about the whole thing with being the black heavyweight champion. He's like this, that, and the third, and he's next in line because Sting is in a heated battle right now with Vader. And
this was the rivalry with Sting and Big Van Vader, which is kind of inseparable.
Right. So the opening contest was they showed clips of Flying Brian defeating Jushin Thunder Liger.
Yep, for the WCW Light Heavyweight Championship.
Correct, and his first title defense is against Brad Armstrong.
Now I have a problem with this already.
Uh-oh.
Already, I have a problem with the match. Why is Brad Armstrong? He does not look like a light heavyweight. I'm sorry, he just does not look like a light heavyweight. He looked like he was 250 pounds, and they billed him at just under 235. Because apparently the stipulation is for you to be a light heavyweight, you have to weigh 235 and under. And he was, and they said that he weighed 234. There's no fucking way he weighed 234. No way.
Well, let me ask you something. Is it because he's a tall guy? Because he's not a small guy.
He's not. Brad Armstrong's gonna be like 6'1 or 6'2, but he's definitely not 234 pounds. He looked like he weighed like 240, 245.
I'm just saying, if he's over 6 foot, he could be 235.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. He weighed a lot. He looked like he weighed way more.
I mean, did Rick Rude look 260?
Rick Rude looked like 260. He does. He looked.
I don't know about that, but I mean,
yeah, he looked great.
I don't know. I think he looked lighter.
He looked like a million.
No, he looked great. I'm saying like weight wise, like, you know, he was getting billed at one point at 275.
He doesn't look 275. I think Rick Rude looks like a solid 250 as well.
Yeah, because I mean they used to throw, you know, they used to throw, they had Hogan at 302 and Hogan was 260. You know what I'm saying? Like, but he was also But he was also 6'6", I think, right? 6'7", yeah. Whatever, right? So.
Something like that. But my problem is that Brad Armstrong does not look like a light heavyweight. that was just my issue. That's it. But the match itself was fine. I mean, you know, Pillman wins with the diving clothesline off the top, and he kind of like nailed Brad Armstrong right in the jaw almost.
Yeah. Jay? Jay?
Jay?
We lose Jay again?
Is it? Oh,
I thought
you had DSL problems again.
No. says the guy with no microphone.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know, for some reason, a little in and out. But but yeah, like I said, I mean, he wasn't, you know, I guess Armstrong looks taller, obviously. But he has to be 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah, Choppy's saying he wasn't. He was way over 235. I mean, he could have been, but
yeah,
I don't know.
You know, listen, wrestlers are always built. Like, Shawn Michaels was built at 234. You know, even if he was on again, like Shawn Michaels would have to be
235. Maybe they were light. No pun intended. Maybe they were light on light heavyweights.
Then they probably. Well, like I said, Liger. You think Liger's under 235?
Liger's got to be like a buck 80 or a buck 90.
Yeah.
And also keep in mind, Liger is like 5'7" or 5'8".
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true too. All right. Your next match.
But like I said, I thought this match was really.
Yeah. I liked it.
I liked it. Match is good for. You got to keep in mind this is like the precursor to what. The cruiserweight title match
that used
to start off the
Nitros. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So and next match, the Freebirds as a face team. I didn't like that.
I hated it.
Jay's laughing. Beat this is a short match though. Defeats Cactus Jack and DDP. I forgot they were a team.
They were, and I did not like. I hate the Fabulous Freebirds as a babyface team. Don't like it.
Yeah, they do not belong as babyface teams, but for some reason, the few times I've seen them, one of the clashes when they had to debut their new song, I loved. It's just hilarious to see them as trying to be babyface teams.
And they didn't come out to their music either. I was like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah. I said the same. You had to see me trying to explain the table. What Michael P.S. Hayes is. I was like, oh, you know what the P.S. stands for, right? So what? I was like, kill him.
And he looks, is it just weird that Michael Hayes looks so out of shape?
Jimmy Garvin looked dumpy.
He did. They both look bad.
Yeah, they both look a little dumpy. And Jim, you could tell because when Michael Hayes went into the ring, he jumped and almost tripped on the fucking top rope.
Yes, he did. I noticed that.
Oh, what a shit show.
But what a nice DDT.
And he always had a nice DDT. And the other thing that Tabor brought up was that how many wrestlers in the 90s had mullets? And I go,
oh. Oh, we had a mullet episode on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. So yeah. I'll bring that audio up for Tabor. I'll play it for her. Who had the best mullet.
This was it.
Yeah.
But I tell you, though, like I said, I mean, this match was short. And like I said, I mean, you could see a little bit. Obviously, DDP is a little green here. He's not as fluent as he would come to be. But
nah, he's new. He's new at it.
Yeah.
He was a manager.
You know what's the crazy part? I think DDP is already like 36 years old.
Yeah. But he was new old.
Yeah, he was new.
He was new old. He was new old. Yeah, he was choppy old, that's right.
Yes, he was.
That's right, yes. Gimmicks. All right, your next match was the Steiner Brothers against John Peterson and Randy Starr.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, man.
It was a buck 30, right? Buck 32, this match was. Yeah.
What do you think their reactions were when they seen that they had to wrestle the Steiner Brothers?
Oh, I'm sure it was the same reaction they had when they. I'm sure they had the same reaction when they wrestled the Road Warriors back in the.
Yeah, when the Mulkey Brothers walked into the fucking to the locker room. Oh, great. We got to fight the Road Warriors tonight. How about Nikita Koloff with hair?
Oh, he's so weird with a crew cut, dude.
Yeah. Awful. Yeah. And he beat the fucking power plant manager, Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker of the State Patrol.
Buddy Lee Parker.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Crazy. Crazy. Right?
Is this when they showed the package with Rick Rude?
Yes.
Yes.
Rick Rude, Ricky Steamboat?
Yes. Yes.
What about Ricky Steamboat slapping Medusa, huh? How about that?
Nice.
No, I thought I was, yeah, I was like, whoa, that's something you can't do today.
No, no way.
And then you saw how much of a pussy Ricky Steamboat became when he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, you smacked the shit out of that bitch. Get out of here. You smacked her.
Yeah. Ninja, please.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Ninja, please.
But, the rivalries in early WCW is Rick Rude against Ricky Steamboat.
With the what?
I don't think it gets talked about enough. The match between Steamboat and Rick Rude.
Oh, pff. Classics.
Yeah.
Yeah, classics.
Those matches are like a finely tuned watch. That's how good they are.
Yeah. But, like I said, I mean, and Rick Rude just you know, quote Ric Flair, looking like only like he can.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right, bitches.
That guy had the look, and there's another one at that table looked at, you know, Rick Rude and Ron Simmons. She's like, oh, hello.
Oh, hello. Hello, chocolateness.
In your pants.
What's up there? What's up there, you big tootsie roll, you motherfucker?
Yeah. He's like, you future world champion?
That's right. She probably got all nice and damp when he took off his shirt and flexed his pecs, huh?
No, I wonder how she felt after she saw him as Farooq Asad.
No. She's sitting there and she sees the TV and she looks at Jay and she's like, how come you can't have muscles like that? That's what she really said. So,
that's for sure.
All right.
Look at those muscles because it isn't showing up.
Jay's like, I'm not a grower, I'm a shower, okay?
Yeah.
That's how we're doing shit here tonight, kids.
Listen, the next time you say something about your physique, you be like, look, you got filet mignon at home. Don't.
That's right. Listen, I don't want no fucking flank steak. All right, you got filet mignon at home. Don't bite the baked potato to feed you, okay?
That's right.
And like I said, I mean, and obviously at this time they are pushing Dangerous Alliance.
Oh yeah.
They are pushing them hard, and I would dare say rightfully so, right? I mean, would you guys agree?
Yeah, I mean it was the only faction in town at that point.
And you know, you got to keep in mind the old NWA was built on factions, especially the 80s. Can't forget that.
Correct.
Yeah.
In the 90s, the Dangerous Alliance was just there to replace the Four Horsemen because Flair had left for the E, and of course, when that happened, they got Arn Anderson as one of their guys. Had beautiful Blobby. They had the Cruncher Larry Zbysko at one point. They had Medusa as Baby Doll. They had fucking Rick Rude. They had Paul Lee as J.J. Dillon. I mean, and then they had Steve Austin. I mean, that was a solid crew. A real solid.
That's a good segue because the main event is Steve Austin from the Dangerous Alliance defending his television championship against Mr. Minnesota, the Z-Man, Tom Zink.
Now I know exactly why this man didn't last as long as he did. Promos were so fucking bad. Like,
yeah.
Awful. Awful at the beginning of the show. I couldn't believe how bad his promos are. Steve Austin, on the other hand, you could tell that he was still very green with the promos, but he was getting better as he spoke.
Yeah. It was, it was the promo in the beginning of the show or whatever. Like, you're looking, you're just like, all right, you just got to get comfortable. But and it's just and on the other side, it's also weird to hear Austin not with that same with that WWF roar that he has, that raspy Texas voice, this is supposed to be him as like a Hollywood, you know, not, well, I guess Hollywood type guy. Blitz, blonde bomber, Steve Austin.
I'm not a Tom Zink guy. We all know this. I don't like him. Never did.
Stop on him. He's a guilty pleasure over here.
Yeah, no, he really isn't. He did give Austin a good match. You know, they split the falls, obviously, with TV time remaining. Then, what bothered me the most, though, is how Austin won. That stupid fucking stun.
The stun gun? I'm not a fan of that finishing move. I mean, it's nice. I think it's as nice as a setup move to something else.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Like I said, especially the way that he hit it with Tom Zank, I think I actually made it a lot better. I mean, you know, it was kind of little, you can kind of see it was deliberate a little bit, but nonetheless, like, you can hit that almost out of anywhere type thing. It was that same type of feel where you can, if you can hit it, you can knock. I don't know. I always liked it as a kid.
I liked the move, but not as a finisher.
No,
you can't. You can't have a 2 out of 3 falls match and then have that as the finisher. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense, or am I just being too critical?
No, I agree with you. I think the stun gun, to me, it's a nice setup move to the finishing move. Like if say for example Steve Austin used that as a setup move and then all of a sudden transitioned to a DDT, I think that would be dope.
Yeah,
that could be a nice finish to the match. Because let's keep in mind, the DDT is still considered a very devastating finishing move in the early 90s. Now, you see, the DDT is considered like a regular move in the early 90s. Yeah. The DDT was like that, the be-all, end-all right there.
Well, like I said, because it was Michael Hayes' finisher. It was Arn Anderson's finisher, the DDT, you know.
Oh, I'm not saying that.
Jake came in later this year. It was his finisher.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that for Austin to use a DDT. Use that, use the stun gun as like a setup move to something else, a DDT or a neck break or something, you know.
Yeah. But actually, funny enough, that's what I wanted to say too about Rick Rude, like that the Rude Awakening finish was fucking legit.
Yes, it did.
Back then it did.
Simply ravishing. Rawr.
By the way, they did not put that. They didn't put that theme song in at the beginning. Actually, I was so upset.
Yeah. No, I got the CD somewhere. The WCW jams.
I thought it was a good match. I liked the match in front of the studio audience.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great feel. I thought the match was good. I mean, Jesse's commentary. Phoning it in WCW at this point.
Well, of course he is, because he's getting paid big money. That's why.
Yeah, you know, and so I thought the commentary was great. The whole feel of the show was kind of good. You can kind of see how they're going for like a prime time WWF type feel with a studio and then shoot to the ring. You can see where they're going with that, but I like the wrestling in front of the studio audience just as good. I they didn't have to go to the big arena, big match or whatever.
No, they do some good things between now and 93. You know, Vader, Ron Simmons, Jake the Snake comes in, the coal miner's glove match, Halloween Havoc, and all that.
Yeah.
Obviously, Rick Rude and the world title, NWA title. Yeah. And then 93 obviously is Vader, and then the return of Flair, and then they transition that to Hogan. So I mean, they're weeding out some of the stuff, and they're trying to get their identity back, because like you said, they had the leadership change and
yeah,
right. So this is an interesting time, and I guess the more episodes we pull out of the archives, we'll try to chronicle some of these leading up to pay-per-views.
Correct.
So we'll do that.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, and that's what, you know, at least that was my thought process, was like, you know, this would be kind of cool. You know, obviously I thought it was going to be 2 hours. I didn't realize it was an hour, but, you know, not that it takes away from the show, but They do a good job of filling in the gap. Like I said, they're talking about Sting. They're making sure they're hitting all the points.
Right.
You know, all the champions and what have you.
And who would have thought, though, right? An hour show, an hour wrestling show could do that. Now you're trying to force people, like, not now, but like last year, you're trying to force people to watch 3 hours of Monday Night Raw. Why do we need to have 3 hours of Monday Night Raw?
Chop, you got 5 hours of live TV with them now a week.
It's insane. It's insane.
No, you're right, dude.
You mean to tell me you can't tell a story in 1 hour of wrestling?
I've been saying this for almost 8 years.
NWA does it. NXT does it. If I'm not mistaken, Impact, I think, doesn't
matter. Yeah.
Why do we need 3 hours of Monday Night Raw?
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
I'm thinking the same thing. Whereas, you know, you can tell so much of a story within this time if done right. And meanwhile, then you got some Raws before this whole business happened. You got some Raws where it's just like fast forward. Like you're watching it for nothing.
Yeah. But this was pretty good. Good call, Jay. I like this.
Good. And like I said, I mean, you know, it wasn't bad WCW, so this way Choppy can't be, you know, too enthused to watch. Like, he actually can get through this.
I believe it or not, I really enjoyed this episode of Saturday Night. I've always liked WCW Saturday Night. Even when it was just the Cruiserweights and, like, the Mid-Carters on Saturday night, I still
like
it.
Yeah, I like studio wrestling. Too. Yeah,
so do I. I think it's great. I mean, NXT used to do it. Now it's more of like a small arena. NWA does studio wrestling, which I love. I think it's fantastic. I think if they went back to that and then go to like the big arenas, the blow off matches for the feuds, I think it'd be great.
Yeah, I got queued up on the network. I got queued up the second one. I can't wait to watch it.
Oh yeah, April 11th is the next one. Yeah, I'm gonna watch that too tonight.
I want to see the Freebirds against Greg the Hammer Valentine and the TaylorMade Man
for the U.S. tag titles. That's right.
I do not want to see that.
I do. I do want to see the old old lesbian Greg Valentine.
You love that guy.
Oh, not as much as my mom does.
Oh, she loves him.
All right, you guys ready to wrap this up?
Yeah, let's get going.
I know Jay's at work tomorrow, so.
Yeah, we get it.
It happens. Before we go, though, I want to just give a shout-out to Wrestling Soup. 10-year anniversary yesterday.
Oh, happy 10 years.
So, Mish, Drapes, Joey Numbers, thank you very much for all your love and support. Congratulations on 10 years.
Absolutely. Congratulations.
You guys know all the gimmicks. And go vote on the fucking Shining Wizards tag team tournament poll.
Yeah, that poll, I tell you right now. If anyone says that the Hardy Boys beats the fucking, what was it, Brody and Hanson?
That's your boy Carlos, bro. That's your boy Carlos. Yeah,
that's crazy. That's insane.
That's your boy Carlos. Just putting that out there.
I'm like, really?
Just putting that out there.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
I don't know. I'm fucking baffled. You guys know all the social media handles. Patreon.com/TumbleTheThrowbacks. Pro Wrestling Tees. /ProWrestlingTees.com/TumbleTheThrowbacks. There's a sale going on, 20% off everything in a store. I think until the 13th, I believe.
Yeah.
So if you don't have all of our shirts, please go get one. We appreciate it. It helps us out. And I think that's it. Any other closing thoughts? Any news, notes that we missed? Anything? Hello? Nothing?
No, I'm good.
All right.
I think that's it.
All right. So listen, we'll see you guys next week. And have a good rest of your night.
Yes, sir.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.